Systemic teaching about Christian life. Subject of this audio: The Christian and the Riches. Chapter 12. Generosity. Topic A. The Sublimity of Generosity. A wide variety of subjects and topics were addressed in this material on the Christian and the riches, also because there are many riches, values attributed to them, and treasures in which people deposit riches and, mainly, their trust or their hearts. Thus, although it is far from trying to exhaust the theme, the present material, on the one hand, has as one of its objectives to point out the diversities of facets that exist in this subject in reference. On the other hand, it aims mainly to serve as an aid to awaken people to seek God so that He may guide them in their most varied options and decisions related to the diversity of facets associated with riches in general. It is through fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ that a person can receive specific guidance for one's own life choices, also in the area of relationship with the diversity of riches and treasures. Considering that similar riches may have different effects for each person, there is no way to define pre-established rules of everything that a person should or should not receive and keep under one's care. Some people, for instance, receive natural riches in their hands and do not make them their treasure, keeping their hearts trusting in God. Others, however, when faced with earthly riches, place inappropriate trust in the goods they possess, relegating their hearts to earthly treasures and not to the Lord. As another example, some people use their professions and possessions to serve God and do good in the world, but there are also others who have their professions, needs, and personal desires for riches as their masters. For this reason, only the Lord knows the depths of each heart and knows how to guide all people in the paths that are correct in the eyes of the Heavenly Father. The Lord knows all things, all intents, and scrutinizes the most intimate thoughts to offer the light and wisdom of the heavenly kingdom to all those who place their trust in Him. In the personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ can be found the hidden treasures of wisdom for the life of the Christian, applying this also to the most basic and practical aspects of how each individual should deal with the diversity around the theme of riches. Isaiah 48, 17. Thus says the Lord, your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, I am the Lord your God, who teaches you to profit, who leads you by the way you should go. Psalms 23, 1. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And among the different characteristics of walking with the Lord, also regarding the aspects related to riches, there is a very special aspect that we reserve to be seen in the final notes of this material, which is generosity. We have already mentioned several times in this theme that the Lord always wants the good of people, but also that among the many good and excellent things that He offers them, the Lord wants people to reach the best of the best, and among which, generosity is one of the points of life that fits among the aspects that receive particular emphasis in the Scriptures, as exemplified in the text below. Acts 20, 35. I have shown you in every way, by laboring like this, that you must support the weak. And remember the words of the Lord Jesus, that He said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. In the context of generosity, however, we understand that, initially, it is necessary to pay attention to the fact that the Lord Jesus Christ has declared that giving is more blessed than receiving does not mean that a person should only act in the practice of giving. When the Lord Jesus Christ said that it is more blessed to give than to receive, He is not saying that a person can cease to receive and proceed to give only. Every human being needs to receive. There is no way a person can live without receiving. No human being can only be a giver, for generosity is a quality or virtue that has its origin in the Lord Himself, from whom a person receives every good gift and every perfect gift that can be generously shared, thus exalting the sublimity of generosity also because of the source from which it comes. Psalms 116, 7. Return to your rest, O my soul, for the Lord has dealt bountifully with you. God is kind and giving. God is a constant giver and the source of every good and perfect gift. An aspect discussed more widely in the theme about every good gift and every perfect gift and the gospel of grace. Even when human beings became despicable and unworthy, the Lord continued to pour out His gifts and His love upon them, an aspect clearly and repeatedly described in the Scriptures, of which we exemplify a text once again below. Romans 5:7-11. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet perhaps for a good man someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrates His own love toward us, in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, having now been justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. For if when we were enemies we were reconciled to God through the death of His Son, much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. And not only that, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received the reconciliation. Despite people's opposition to the eternal Creator, God did not impute the sins of human beings onto them, but, on the contrary, He sent His beloved Son to make the only perfect and generous provision of forgiveness and remission of sinners from the yoke or body of their sins. For this reason, no person remains estranged from fellowship with God because there is not available a generous, complete, and abundant provision of reconciliation with the Lord, but one remains apart by not knowing the heavenly generosity or by repeatedly choosing to reject God's generosity towards one's life. Nevertheless, in addition to receiving God's immeasurably valuable salvation, a person may reach an even more blessed condition or perform an even more blessed practice than being a constant receiver. One may reach a condition where one also experiences the richness of what is even more sublime. That is, one receives what one needs from God, but one still goes beyond this stage and also becomes a giving individual who shares with or gives gifts to others. Thus, the most blessed condition is to go even beyond being an exclusively receiving recipient to being a receiving recipient to also give, share, and distribute generously. In other words, generosity is an intrinsic characteristic of the heavenly kingdom. And the one who becomes a child of light, a child of God's kingdom, is also called to practice the conducts of the kingdom of light because they are an intrinsic part also of one's new condition of life in the Lord. Ephesians 5:8-10. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. As the Lord Jesus Christ declared, the generous person is even more blessed for practicing this characteristic of one's new nature in God, experiencing even more the prosperity in the Lord in the newness of life that is added to those who have received a new heart from the Heavenly Father. Proverbs 22:9. He who has a generous eye will be blessed, for he gives of his bread to the poor. Proverbs 11:25. The generous soul will be made rich, or will prosper, and he who waters will also be watered himself. Let us also note here that the prosperity promised to the generous is, first of all, the prosperity of one's soul or one's life, a point that has already been seen before, showing us this, that, before God, it is necessary that the soul prospers and not only or necessarily the amounts of goods in other earthly areas, whose text we also recall below. 3 John 1:2. Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers. In the world, there are several people who prosper materially, but who often also become impoverished in the soul, this not being the goal of prosperity coming from the heavenly kingdom. In the following verses from the text of 3 John that were last quoted above, we can see, then, What are the conducts of the prosperous soul to which the author John makes reference first, as follows. 3 John 1, 2-8. Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers. For I rejoiced greatly when brethren came and testified of the truth that is in you, just as you walk in the truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. Beloved, you do faithfully whatever you do for the brethren and for strangers, who have borne witness of your love before the church. If you send them forward on their journey in a manner worthy of God, you will do well, because they went forth for his name's sake, taking nothing from the Gentiles. We therefore ought to receive such, that we may become fellow workers for the truth. The prosperous soul is a soul that walks in the truth of God, walks in Christ and his instructions, walks in the love of the truth. And in this truth, this soul takes pleasure in being generous towards God, fellow believers in Christ, and even strangers so that they equally may come to the knowledge of Christ, who is the truth and the Son of God who truly sets free those who believe in him. Therefore, in his infinite grace, God aims to grant his children not only to receive his love, but also to be participants, by living and walking in his truth, in proclaiming and sharing his eternal love. The Lord wants his children to experience the greatness of his gifts, but also through them to experience the rich gift of cooperating with him in announcing and spreading his love and his truth to other people in the world. If a Christian offers oneself as a vessel for the Lord's use or presents oneself to serve the Lord, which is the practical expression of the worship of God, the Lord not only grants his mercy for one's own life, but also invites the Christian to be a vessel of mercy and goodness to make known heavenly mercy and generosity to other people. 2 Timothy 2:21. Therefore if anyone cleanses himself from the latter, he will be a vessel for honor, sanctified and useful for the Master, prepared for every good work. The receiving of mercy is indescribably excellent. But being able to share mercy is yet another addition to the condition of being blessed. And the Lord always wants the best of the best for all of his children. For those who place themselves in God's hands to serve him according to the principles of his eternal truth, the Lord makes them, despite being fragile, vessels that receive immeasurable riches to be generously announced or distributed to other people. Romans 6:12-14. Therefore do not let sin reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in its lusts. And do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under law but under grace. 2 Corinthians 4:6-11. For it is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. We are hard pressed on every side, yet not crushed, we are perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed, always carrying about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our body. For we who live are always delivered to death for Jesus' sake, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh. Thus, when a Christian makes Christ his great treasure where one places the trust and hope of one's heart, the Heavenly Father sends Christ Jesus to dwell in one's heart as the treasure and the main riches of one's life to benefit him or her eternally. However, God also does this so that the riches of the newness of life according to the heavenly kingdom may be manifested by those who have received it to other people in the world. And this, so that the glory of God may be presented also in this way to people who have not yet known or have not yet opened their hearts to receive heavenly love for them, or who need to be helped by their fellow people through the heavenly generosity. Knowing that the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ is His body made up of people who have the work of the Lord on the cross of Calvary as the basis of their salvation and who remain united to the one and sovereign head of the Church, and that the Church is not institutions, associations, and constructions made by human hands, we can observe that Christians are also called to make known the generosity of God towards all human beings, as well as before principalities and powers even in the heavenly places, as we are taught in the following words written by Paul. Ephesians 3:8-12. To me, who am less than the least of all the saints, this grace was given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the ages has been hidden in God who created all things through Jesus Christ. To the intent that now the manifold wisdom of God might be made known by the Church to the principalities and powers in the heavenly places, according to the eternal purpose which He accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence through faith in Him. In Christ Jesus, the Christian is justified, redeemed, saved, and has one soul restored in the Lord and to eternal salvation. And yet, in addition to all that is bestowed on a Christian in the Lord, the Christian is also called to generously announce or share with others various facets of the same generosity, love, and salvation of God that has been granted him or her from the heavenly kingdom, allowing this, that one may become a cooperator with the Father of love and Father of lights who extends such great salvation to all who believe in him.